Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2480 with a release date of Friday, May 9th, 2025. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC proposes changes for testing electronics made overseas. A first for a disaster training workshop in India, and weather balloons litter a scenic beach in Australia. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2480 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story this week is all about electronics that are made for the U.S. market but tested overseas. The U.S. regulator is preparing to change where that testing can and cannot be done. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with the details.
The FCC plans to tighten its requirements for the testing of electronic devices manufactured in countries such as China before they can be sold to U.S. consumers. The commission will review an order this month that bans device testing conducted by labs that are, quote, owned, controlled, or directed by entities that pose national security risks, according to a statement by FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. He identified China as one example of such a country. He said it was important that U.S.-based labs begin taking the responsibility to certify such equipment. According to Carr's statement, Chinese labs test about three-quarters of all electronics sold in the U.S. The commission will consider the new order in its open meeting on May 22nd. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Never mind space junk from decommissioned satellites. Right here on Earth, pieces of weather balloons have been littering one beach in Australia. John Williams, VK4JJW, brings us up to date.
Remnants of latex rubber weather balloons and foam boxes with scientific instruments washed up recently on the southwest coast of Victoria, where they were discovered by beach patrol crews. According to local media, the half dozen or so balloons were carrying a radio sonde to measure temperatures, wind speed, wind direction, and relative humidity. The balloons had been launched from Tasmania for a research project hosted by the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, the Australian Bureau of Meteorology and the US Department of Energy. The launch site on the northwest tip of Tasmania is considered the location of the planet's purest air, making it a preferred spot for scientists' climate studies. Heath Powers, the project's operations manager, said in an Australian Broadcasting Corporation report that scientists are testing more eco-friendly ways to conduct these studies without creating such an impact on marine life. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
In a little more than a month, the U.S. will stop supporting three satellites in its important group of weather observers. CellMB KB3TZD tells us what that means.
Three U.S. government weather-watching satellites have been scheduled to formally enter the end-of-life stage on June 16th by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA has announced that the satellites 15, 18, and 19, which are part of the Polar Operational Environmental Satellite, or POES, system, will no longer be updated or repaired. As quoted in the blog usradioguy.com, NOAA said that this means signals will continue to be transmitted, but should not be used by anyone for purposes involving safety or other critical matters. Hobbyists will still be able to download weather satellite imagery, either via automatic picture transmission on 137 MHz with a V-dipole antenna, or via high-resolution picture transmission on 1.7 GHz with a tracking dish antenna. Like the other POES satellites, this trio had provided data that was used in monitoring the environment, forest fires, volcanic eruptions, and global vegetation. This is CellMB KB3TZD.
As the days wind down towards opening day of Hamvention in Xenia, Ohio, organizers report brisk ticket sales and the hope to match or exceed last year's attendance of more than 35,000 guests over the 3 days. A team of 700-plus volunteers will be there starting on May 16th to make everyone welcome. This year's theme is Radio Independence, and for 3 days it will pervade the four meeting halls where the forums are taking place. Tickets can be purchased at the box office outside the main entrance gate. For additional details, visit hamvention.org. The ARRL is also encouraging visitors to download the Hamvention app, which includes the full program and affiliated events. Find the link to download the app in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Thanks to an infusion of money from Amateur Radio Digital Communications, the massive collection at the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications can keep growing and growing. Randy Sly, W4XJ, has those details.
The collection of digitized newsletters, magazines, and online media at the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications keeps growing. And now the library has something else to add to its hefty collection, a second grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications. The group that provided the original grant that first helped bring this library of amateur radio's international history to life. Kay Sabbats, K6KJN, the library's curator, said in the Zero Retries newsletter that the funding will permit the Free Library's continued operation for another 2 years. He said phase two of the library's operation will include acquiring and digitizing material from the California Historical Radio Society and the Spark Museum of Electrical Invention. The library's most recent acquisitions include the Wireless Institute of Australia's Amateur Radio Magazine from 1933 through 2012 and dozens of new issues of the DX Bulletin. Still celebrating the support, Kay wrote in the newsletter, quote, "Excuse the mess. There's still confetti all over the floor of DLARC World Headquarters," end quote. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame, which is now overseen by Ham Gallery, has announced the trio of inductees for 2025. We hear more about them from Travis Lisk in 3ILS.
The three newest CQ Hall of Famers, who were chosen following a nomination process that ended in April, include one Silent Key. The inductees are Wayne Overbeck, N6NB, who became a Silent Key last month, Angel M. Vasquez, WP3R, and Jim Breakall, WA3FET. Wayne, who became a Silent Key on April 18th of this year, was well known as a co-creator of the Quaggy antenna, which is part Yagi, part Quad. A top-performing contester, he was honored as Radio Amateur of the Year at the Dayton Hamvention in 1980 for his years of contributions to ham radio. Wayne was an educator and a former vice director with the ARRL's Southwestern Division. Angel, who was named Amateur of the Year at Dayton Hamvention in 2021, had worked at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico since 1977. He had served as head of telescope operations and was the lead operator for 2010 Moonbounce Project at Arecibo, a project that included, among others, fellow Hall of Fame inductee Jim Breakall. Angel works as the Puerto Rico Coordination Zone Administrator, managed by the National Radio Astronomy Observatory. Jim is a professor emeritus of electrical engineering at Pennsylvania State University and a leader in cutting-edge antenna technology. He is credited for his work with the numerical electromagnetic code used in antenna analysis. A prolific author and busy contester, Jim has been involved in antenna designs at Arecibo and the HARP facility in Alaska. For more details about the recipients, visit hamgallery.com. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Congratulations to the winner of the 2025 Amateur Radio Software Award. If you do a lot of portable operating, you may already be very familiar with this program and its developer. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us about them both.
Ham 2K Portable Logger has been a mainstay in the field for a growing number of portable operators since its development by Sebastian Delmont, Kilo India 2 Delta. The Amateur Radio Software Award Committee has chosen to honor the free, downloadable logger, citing its, quote, intuitive, user-friendly interfaces and a suite of convenient features, end quote. The software's support of worldwide flora and fauna, summits on the air, parks on the air, and the ARRL Field Day has helped grow its popularity. Details about the logger can be found at polo.ham2k.com. Meanwhile, mark your calendars for the 7th through the 17th of November when the committee will activate special events station Kilo 6 Alpha, Kilo 6 Romeo, and Kilo 6 Sierra. That spells ARS for Amateur Radio Software to honor this year's winner and to solicit nominees for next year's award. The international award is given for open source software projects that promote innovation and freedom in amateur radio. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W9BCC repeater in Wausau, Wisconsin, on Sundays at 9 p.m. during the Rib Mountain Repeater Association's Sunday Night SwapNet. Nominations close on the 31st of this month for Newsline's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Do you know a promising young amateur who is a potential candidate? Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger here in the continental United States. If they have talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio, they might just be this year's award winner. Find applications on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. The APRS Foundation's inaugural Education Summit, originally scheduled to take place in May, has been postponed until the autumn of this year. The nonprofit group is developing a full day of programming that is geared to both seasoned operators and beginners, anyone interested in using the automatic packet reporting system. Discussions about packet radio will include the fundamentals, but will also address cutting-edge applications and what's in store for the future. Best of all, guests can attend the online seminars and interactive Q&A sessions right from their home QTH. Registration details will appear on the Foundation website at aprsfoundation.org when they are available. The mountainous terrain of the Indian state of Nagaland is daunting, but it is never more daunting than in an emergency when communication cannot afford to fail. An amateur radio training program has been helping state officials train in the latest communication technologies, as we learn from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Open Source Classes for Amateur Radio, also known as OSCAR India, has been working with the Nagaland State Disaster Management Authority to sharpen responders' communication skills. In the most recent session, held in late April, participants celebrated a first for responders in the region in northeast India. They successfully used radio signals for image transmission, using the call sign 82NE. District project associates who work for the Disaster Management Authority were able to see the benefit of this image transmission mode. They also received training in antenna building and Morse code. OSCAR India's convener, Nilikantha Chatterjee, VU2OII, told local media, quote, "This demonstration proves radio's vital role when modern networks fail. While we have conducted similar transmissions elsewhere, bringing this capability to northeast India's unique landscape is particularly rewarding." End quote. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In West Bengal, India, law enforcement officials in one city are adding amateur radio shacks to police stations. Now they are busy getting volunteers trained and licensed to use them. We have an update from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
2 months of ham radio training began in late April for civic volunteers who assist at the 26 police stations throughout the city of Barrackpore. The sessions are being conducted by Sir Ryan Mundall, VU3ZHF, Pashupati Mundall, VU3ODQ, Deepak Chokrabarty, VU2TLW, and Jayanta Bafidya, VU2TFR. All are members of the West Bengal Radio Club. The training is designed to prepare the volunteers for the exam leading to the ham radio certificate from the Ministry of Telecommunications. Radio shacks are expected to be set up at each of the 26 police stations and the police central office. The police commissioner told local media that adding wireless communication to the various modes used by law enforcement will be especially helpful for disaster response. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The Osaka Kansai Expo 2025 is a major event by the Japan Amateur Radio League that showcases cutting-edge technology and focuses on training and education for the ham community. Jarl is inviting hams around the world to get involved in the months ahead, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Members of the Japan Amateur Radio League are showing their support for the Osaka Kansai Expo 2025 in a big way. For the 184 days, they are calling QRZ with the call sign 8K3EXPO. The expo opened on April 13th with the first QSOs made by JARL President Koji Morita, JA5SUD. Volunteers throughout the organisation will continue the activation until its conclusion on the 13th of October. According to the Expo website, all the radio equipment for this station is being operated remotely, utilising optical fibre. A radio booth is set up next to one of the Expo halls in the East Gate Zone and linked to the antenna tower elsewhere on site. Not everything is happening on site. At the same time the 8K3 station is on the air, the mobile station JA3XPO is also being operated by JARL. This is a special call sign that has been reactivated 55 years after its first use at the previous Osaka Expo in 1970. The mobile operation will travel to the 6 prefectures in the Kansai region. Of course, if you think this expo is a big deal, wait until next year when JARL marks 100 years since its founding. For additional information about the expo, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the world of DX, listen for the call signs with the special prefixes 4X77 and 4Z77 until the 10th of May. Hams in Israel are celebrating the 77th anniversary since the founding of the Israel Association of Radio Communication and the establishment of the State of Israel. See QRZ.com for more details. Casimir DL2SBY will be using the call sign HB0/DL2SBY from Liechtenstein from the 11th to the 18th of May. Listen for him on the HF bands and on 6 meters. See QRZ.com for details. The call sign II3IARU is being activated by Alex IV3KKW to mark the 100th anniversary of the IARU and the 75th anniversary of IARU Region 1. He will be on the air until the 18th of May. QSL via his home call sign. Finally, we hear about a distress call that came in via radio, but this wasn't exactly a local call or even a conventional DX call. How about 26,000 light years from Earth? Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, goes the distance with this story.
It's known as the snake, the nickname by which astronomers identify one dense, elongated filament in the center of our Milky Way galaxy. It apparently has suffered fractures in two places. As best as scientists can tell, a fast-rotating neutron star known as a pulsar collided with the snake at a not-too-shabby 1 to 2 million miles per hour and caused a fracture that disrupted the snake's magnetic field, releasing radio emissions from the site of the impact. NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and the Meerkat radio array in South Africa studied the snake, which is 230 light-years long, to get a better picture of what scientists compare to fractures in bones. Radio astronomers combined their findings with those of an observatory in San Agustin, Mexico, and recently released a paper in the Monthly Notices of the London-based Royal Astronomical Society describing the event. Scientists study filaments such as the snake to understand their roles in how stars are formed. Whether the snake can heal is another question altogether. Cosmic veterinarians don't make long-distance house calls. Meanwhile, patient privacy rules do not apply here. So, you can see images of the injury on the Chandra X-ray Observatory website. The link is in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a 3-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website, arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Amateur Radio Software Award, Ambarish Nagbiswas, VU2 JFA, AMSAT, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, David BR, K7DB, FCC, HamGallery.com, IFL Science, Jarl, QRZ.com, Nagaland Post, NASA, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Times of India, US Radio Guy Blog, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, Zero Retries Newsletter, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.